Good morning, everybody. Really thankful to see everyone here this morning. I want to do a couple of things in an official capacity. For those of you that were downstairs, you know what I'm talking about. The breakfast was wonderful. Whew. Thank you, those that did that breakfast. That was great. And the flowers? They look marvelous. Thanks. Very colorful. Ruth did that. Thanks, Ruth. That was great. Okay. He is risen. Exactly. Today is Easter Sunday, and as Christians, we've gathered to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. But even as we celebrate, our hearts, I guess the best word is our hearts are heavy with the realization that much is wrong with our world. Unrelenting hatred seems to rule supreme in the hearts and lives of so many, and the fruits of terror are all too evident. You remember the Desert Storm conflict, maybe we'll call it that, in the early 90s? A gal got a call, a sad call, from the Pentagon. And it communicated that her son, Christopher, a private first class, had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and he had died. And she later expressed herself that she couldn't describe the grief and the shock. And she said it was almost too much for me to bear. And for 3 days she wept. And for 3 days she was angry because she felt the loss so keenly. And for 3 days, people tried to comfort her, and she wouldn't have anything to do with it because the loss was so great. And then, 3 days later, she got another phone call. And on the other end of the line, it says, Mom, it's me. I'm alive. What? You know, she couldn't believe it at first. What? But then she recognized his voice. Apparently, the message that she'd received was a mistake. And later she said, you know, she laughed and she cried and she felt like doing cartwheels because the son, whom she thought was dead, was really alive. And then she communicated, I'm sure that none of the rest of you could really grasp what I was feeling. Well, perhaps not. But some who walk the pages of the New Testament knew exactly and understood exactly how she felt because they experienced those same emotions themselves. One day, they watched their great friend, the best teacher they'd ever heard, the individual whom they thought was the Messiah, they watched him in pain cry out on the cross, I thirst. They witnessed him as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They listened as finally he bowed his head and he said, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And they watched his body as it was taken down from the cross and buried. All their hopes and dreams were buried with him. And Friday and all day Saturday, they mourned until finally, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, the scripture says that there were some women who were going to anoint the body of Jesus in the tomb, and they were wondering who is going to roll away that great big heavy stone for them. But when they arrived, they found the stone had been rolled away. Wow. You know. And an angel said to them there, Jesus isn't here among the dead. He's alive. He's risen, just like he told you he was going to do. And that is what we're celebrating this morning. When all of the evidence is in, we're convinced that Jesus is alive. Amen? He's risen from the dead. And what a difference his resurrection makes. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the first eight verses. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. If you want to look it up, it's on page 1205 in your pew Bible. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. That was from the Apostle Paul. So with that introduction then, Paul goes on to present a tremendous testimony to the resurrection of Jesus. So then in verses 51 and 52 of 1 Corinthians 15, he turns his attention to us and he says, hey, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Wow. With these words kind of dancing around in our brains, you know, I want to consider some of the changes or transformations, if you will, some of the transformations that the resurrection of Jesus has already made. Number one, the transformation of the cross and the tomb. Now, before his resurrection, the cross was known only as an instrument of horrible, horrible death. The Romans adapted it. They got it from the Persians. Rough wood soaked with human blood. Remember that it was so terrible, so horrible, that this form of execution was prohibited if you were a Roman citizen. Only crucifixion was for the worst of slaves and the enemies of the empire. But today, because of the resurrection, I've been checking. A lot of you folks are wearing crosses. And it's a thing of beauty. You know, the whole world is seen as the cross is seen as a symbol of hope and a reminder of God's love for us. Well, what about the tomb? Before the resurrection, for most of the world, the grave was looked upon as, hey, that's it. It's the final chapter. It's the closing of a great door. It's the end of everything. But because of the resurrection, his resurrection, we can rejoice today that beyond death is when life really begins. And that makes you wonder, doesn't it? Why do we spend so much time worrying and fretting about material things? If, in fact, life really begins after what we call here on this earth death. A famous actress said, "I spent most of my life searching for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And then finally I found it at the foot of the cross." All our lives, it seems, we work and we struggle to accumulate things that we think are important. But when we're dealing with death and what happens after death, all of these things seem so unimportant, you know, so inconsequential. What difference does it really make what kind of car that we drive, what kind of home that we live in, what kind of clothes we wear? If we're talking about eternity, then what difference do things really make? I mean, spend some time with that. On one side of the resurrection, everything that we see is temporary. Only the things that we cannot see are eternal. What a difference the resurrection makes. The second transformation. There's a transformation of life itself. You know, have you been listening to the messages of the world lately? Have you been hearing the voices of hopelessness and despair that just seem so pervasive today? And suddenly we've become so painfully and personally aware of the presence of terrorism on our planet. The men and women of the armed forces, they're spread across the world. They're engaged in what will undoubtedly be a prolonged battle against the forces of hatred and evil. And the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians continues on and on. There are diseases for which we don't have any cure. You know, there are problems in the home. Man, we've been horribly reminded that children are being abused in our area. People are sleeping on the streets. You know? If you watch and you listen very long, you can be filled with despair. And if the only hope that we have is the hope that this world offers, we have no hope, because the message of the world is despair. But in contrast, the Lord Jesus said, "I have come to bring you life, and to bring you life more abundantly, to show you how to live, to bring you a hope and a joy and peace and love, and to give you a reason for living." Even if life is racked with pain, and sometimes it is, you know, even if there is loneliness and sorrow, you'll be able to go on. You'll find the strength that comes through Jesus and the power of his resurrection. The third issue here is the transformation of death. Before the resurrection, hey, death is the end. Before the resurrection, death was the final curtain call. Before the resurrection, all we could do is mourn as though we have no hope. But after the resurrection, when someone dies, we mourn because we've lost a loved one, but we mourn as people who have great hope, because Jesus Christ is alive. And the promise of Scripture, if he is alive, then we too can live forever. Our sins are forgiven by his shed blood, and we have the promise of everlasting life. It changes the whole concept of death itself. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this guy, this author. His name's Henry Garrity. And he wrote a book entitled Portraits of Perseverance. Carl was a very rich man who owned a great estate. And one of his favorite pastimes was he liked to get on one of his horses and he liked to ride through his valley. And he would look at everything that he owned and he would congratulate himself on his great wealth. One day he comes over the knoll and in a little bit of a distance he sees one of his tenant farmers. And this old guy's name is Hans. And it was lunchtime. And Hans has kind of created a little table and he spread out the food that he had to eat. Before he ate, he bowed his head. He folded his hands in prayer to thank God for the food that he'd provided for him. Carl watched the old man as he prayed. And then he looked at his meal. And, you know, it was a slice of bread and a piece of cheese. He said with a sneer, "Man, if that's all I had to eat, I wouldn't bother praying." Hans replied humbly, "It is enough, and I'm thankful that God has provided for me." Well, Carl was kind of taken back by Hans's answer, so he turns his horse and he prepares to ride away, but before he could, you know, old Hans said, "Hey, wait a minute, sir. You know, I need to share this with somebody. It's been bugging me. Last night I had a dream, and in my dream, it was a beautiful scene. And then all of a sudden I heard this voice say, 'The richest man in the valley will die tonight. The richest man in the valley will die tonight.'" "Oh, poppycock," Carl said as he rode off toward home. But as he's riding home, he starts to feel a chest pain or two, you know. And he's beginning to wonder, could it possibly be true? Am I going to die tonight? When he reached home, he called the doctor. He said, "You know, Doc, this old Hans, you know, that one of the farmers there on my property, he had this dream, and man, I'm riding home, I started to experience chest pains. Oh, the doctor said, "You know, it doesn't really sound like much, Carl, but, you know, after I close up here at the office, I'll come over and give an examination." Okay, so the doctor came. After the examination, he said, "Carl, you're as strong as a horse. You are not going to die tonight." Well, Carl said, "You know, I feel mighty foolish that I paid any attention to old Hans about the richest man in the valley dying tonight, but I just had to be certain." So reassured, Carl went off to bed. The next morning, there was a knock on his door, and the messenger said, "Carl, old Hans died last night. Truly, the richest man in the valley did die that night. The one who understood who God was and what he had done for him." And Paul wrote, "O death," we sang it, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, the resurrection makes all of the difference. Before things seem so important, but now they become pretty insignificant. Before time was so limited, but now, once you've come to know Jesus, you have all of eternity in heaven with him. Before, life was filled with despair, but now, it has promise and direction and meaning. Before, death was the end, but now, with the Lord Jesus, it's just the beginning. Now, the balance of our service this morning will be remembering our Lord in his death and his resurrection. Let's pray. Father, we're so very thankful this morning for your love and your compassion for each of us here this morning. You know us by name, as we've been reminded. We're thankful that you care deeply enough to send the Lord Jesus down to this earth to die for our sins. But we're also humbled and thankful that he rose from the dead and conquered that last sin. May we honor you today in the things that we do and we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.